Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. This is the New Living Translation. They're not going to have anything in the back for this because this is not something I was preaching in the next service. So bear with our media team who does a great job every week. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It might read a little different because this is the New Living Translation. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Somebody say no longer immature. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, act your age. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Come on. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. You know what that means? That you and I have to know truth so intimately that when somebody disguises a lie like truth, we're able to point it out and say, nope, that's not the word of God. Nope, that's not what God said. And we don't shift our life based on untruths that might be look like truth. Verse 15, instead we will speak the truth in love. Somebody say love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And for just a few moments, and I know time is short, I want to preach on grow and gain. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, grow and gain. You may be seated. About, I guess it was 10 weeks ago, sitting in one of our strategy and prep sessions with Chris and Heather, sitting here on the front row, we were discussing state of church, state of ministry, universally, locally, here at Living Way, and God dropped the two words, grow and gain. Every believer within the sound of my voice, whether you're in this room, watching online live, or perhaps we'll stumble across this archive 10 years from now, every believer, whether you've been saved for 4 minutes or 4 decades, your goal should be that I'm going to grow and I'm going to become more in Christ. I'm going to become stronger. I thought I'd get a better amen there than that. I'm going to gain things that God wants me to have. I'm going to gain the weapons of God. I'm going to gain the blessings of God. But the thing is a lot of times we look at that word grow and we think of adding bigger and all of those things. When God can do that, but a lot of times God will grow you by subtraction. That you literally get better by the things you lose. You get better by some of the relationships that didn't follow you this far into 2020. You grow by sometimes you lose a job and you thought you lost maybe $500 a week, but after 6 months you're thinking, man, I gained a lot when I lost that job. And so I believe that as we study this text here in Ephesians chapter 4, and as we go to Ephesians 3, I believe somebody's going to be helped today. And so the second verse that I want to draw your attention to that we're going to dissect over the next 15 or 20 minutes is Ephesians 3:20. There's a new translation that I have fallen in love with, and it's called the Passion Translation. Passion Translation. I will always, forever be a King James Version guy. I love it, but I love how sometimes these other translations bring it more to a modern tone and a modern flair. This is what Ephesians 3:12 says. Remember Ephesians 3:20. That is something that we love to quote. To the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power of Christ that works within us. Great verse. This is 8 verses before, which means that this verse is going to prep us to get to that verse. We have boldness through him, the Passion Translation says in Ephesians 3:12. We have boldness through him, that him being God, pronouns, and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence. Somebody say, I am confident. Because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. The subtitle to what I want to talk about today is access to excess. That we have access to excess as believers. Access simply means it is available. Just because it's available doesn't mean that we're going to get it. Just because it's in the room doesn't mean that we are going to partake. Just because it is advertised doesn't mean that we show up and we get a piece of that. Come on, in the last few months, I've been to Burger King and they were out of burgers. I've been to Church's Chicken and they were out of chicken. I said, well, you mean you're out of all chicken? Chicken tenders, chicken legs, breasts, thighs. They said, we're out of everything. Well, why are y'all open? They said, well, we got mashed potatoes and rolls. I said, this is Church's Chicken, not Church's sides. Burger King right across the road. Welcome to Burger King. I'm sorry, but we're out of burgers. I said, why are you open? We have chicken. You're Burger King, not Chicken King. So I went across Taco Bell, and I said, welcome to Taco Bell. Can I take your order? I said, yes, do you have tacos? She said, of course we have tacos. I said, you'd be surprised. I said, I just went to Burger King, and they said they were out of burgers. And she goes, that's just like when I went to the club last week and they were out of tequila. I said, nope, nah, not even the same. We're not even in the same world. Not even in the same world. But there's nothing worse than having an expectation, having it available, but not laying your hands on what God said is available. You know the sad thing in the state of the universal church is there's a lot of people who will show up or tune into churches today looking for peace, where peace is advertised, but they will not receive peace. Looking for joy, where joy is advertised, but they won't receive joy. Looking for deliverance at a church where deliverance should be advertised, but they go home the same way in the same bondage, the same oppression and possession. So I want to encourage you that it is available, but not only that it's available, I want you to get up and grab hold of it today and say, God, when your word says it, I'm going to grab that thing, pull it into my life, and I'm going to grow and gain through you. Access, it is available. Excess means more than you need. I had a great conversation with a friend of mine many, many years ago about prosperity. And he said, do you believe everybody that God wants everybody to be a millionaire? I said, well, I can't speak for God, but I do know this, that God has given everybody the opportunity to get however much they want, however much they feel that they need. Now, I think we need to quit putting a dollar amount on what God wants to do. Because at the end of the day, God doesn't want to give you a particular dollar amount. God just wants to relieve you from the stress of not having enough when something comes due. And so it is God's will that you have more than what you need so that you live in surplus and you live in the extra, the excess mode instead of always surviving. Come on, in 2020, we can thrive because we've gotten to that place of growing and gaining. So access, it is available. Excess, more than you need. It is God's will for you to have more than you need. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible is explicit throughout the Bible. He says, not only will I give you joy, it will be unspeakable. Not only will I give you grace, but it will be sufficient, meaning this, more grace than you need. You can't out-sin the grace of God. Your mistakes are never going to be bigger than the grace of God. He has given us more grace than we need. Mercy that is fresh every morning, every day the sun rises. God said, I've got more mercy for you today, more mercy than you need. He said, I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Come on, am I in a Holy Ghost church this morning? The Holy Spirit without measure. I'll give you blessings and favor that you cannot contain. It is God's will for every believer. Let me back up and say it again. It is God's will for every believer to live in surplus with more than we need of everything. However, I love this. Everything that I've said, Bible-based, scriptural truth, it is the truth. However, and I love when God gave me this phrase, you can't get there, you have to grow there. Say, what does that mean? Too many people are trying to get someplace. See, when I preached this to young people, I preached about that last year of elementary school, you couldn't wait to be in junior high. Then you couldn't wait to be in high school. Then you couldn't wait to be in college. And then you couldn't wait to get out of your parents' house. And then you said, man, I need to move back in with mom and dad. Because we're always never satisfied with where we are. We're always trying to get there. However, if we get there without growing there, we'll not be able to stay there. And so that's why we've got to grow. As we grow, what we know becomes greater. What we know then determines the authority that we walk in, what we have. That's why you don't get your driver's license at 5 years old. You get a little tricycle at 5 years old, and you grow with the tricycle, and then you get a bicycle. And then that bicycle has training wheels, and then you grow to the level they break the training wheels off. Can I tell somebody today, I've come to break the training wheels off of your faith today. I've come to help you grow, not to get you there, but to help you grow to there. Because when you grow there, you're going to stay there. And when you grow there, it's not going to be fleeting moments of greatness. It's not going to be fleeting days or seasons of awesomeness. It's going to be every day I feel stronger than I did the day before. Every season I'm shaking off the dust and rust, and I'm becoming what God has called me to be. So we have to grow there, not just get there. Having something, listen to this, having something without becoming something is dangerous. See, you need to be a good steward of money before you have money. That's why over 50%, crazy, right, of lottery winners end up broke. It's actually worse. Because I'd rather never have $5 million than to have $5 million for 6 months and then be back in credit card debt and working a dead-end 9-to-5. Can I encourage you that becoming something in Christ is so much better than getting a quick fix in August or September of a year and saying, God, I thank you for what you've done, and then be stone cold spiritually bankrupt or in debt spiritually by the end of the year? Become what God has called you to be by growing where God has called you to be. And when you do that, everything that God gives you is going to stay in your life. It's not going to visit your life and leave. To live in excess without growing and maturing as a believer will be fleeting and short-lived. Ephesians 3:12, it says this, we have boldness through him. What is boldness? Boldness is not hesitating in the face of danger. Now, let me back up and say this. Boldness is not you telling off your boss. Boldness is not you putting your spouse in their place and flexing your muscle and thinking that, well, man, I really told them. That's not boldness. When we talk about boldness, we're talking about not hesitating in the face of danger, not being fearful in the face of danger, living a life of courage, not hesitating to break the rules. And when we say break the rules, we're talking about society and cultural rules and limitations that they've said, because of this, you can only do this. And living up to God's rule. I mean, we're living in a nation now that is supposedly a Christian nation. However, in certain states, they're telling you that you can't go to church. They're telling you that you can't worship. We live in a nation that we are the most educated we have ever been, and we are all about this life and all about this life, yet we're killing babies by the millions every decade. And it's a crazy place that we're living in, but I'm here to tell you that when you grow to a certain place in God, it's not going to matter your political persuasion. It's not going to matter the color of your skin or the gender or what all of those things. What's going to matter is, first and foremost, I'm a believer and a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought I'd get a better amen than that right there. I'm a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, and I am bold, and you're not going to back me up against the wall. You're not going to make me cower in the corner. Why? Because I'm grown and I'm bold. I'm not a jerk. I just know what God has promised me. I can see what's in front of me, and I can see what's trying to stop me, and I will not be stopped. How many bold believers do we have in the room today? Come on, I like it. I hear you talking back to me. You say, what's a good test to see how you're how or if you're a bold believer? Here's a few things you can just run down. How do you praise? How do you pray? Do you watch them? Or are they just part of the soundtrack of your worship? Come on, I said it last night during worship at Catalyst. You don't have to have the best voice. God is not judging your worship by the way you sound and by the way Sister Angela sounds or Brother James sounds. He's looking at your heart. He's not listening to your voice. So how do you praise? How do you worship? Because bold believers live a lifestyle of praise and a lifestyle of worship. Here's another one. How do you serve? Is it all coming this way, or has God put you on this earth to let some go this way and to serve your fellow man, not just in a ministry or in church, but in life? How do you witness? Here's a question. How many people are in heaven because of you? Only bold believers win believers. And for you to say that you are a believer and a Christian and you've never shared and witnessed and evangelized your world and the culture around you and brought somebody to the cross and brought somebody to heaven, you know what that makes you? That makes you, I'm glad I got out of hell, but everybody else can go to hell mentality, and that's not what God has called us to be. I've got the cure for the world. His name is Jesus, so I'm going to be bold with that cure. I'm not going to hold back that cure. I'm not going to pick who I give the cure to. Everybody gets the cure. When you're around me, you get faith. When you're around me, you get Jesus. When you're around me, you get hope. When you're around me, you get the word of God. Somebody say amen. Ooh, here's a good one. How do you live your life in front of people that aren't believers? Here's another one. What does your social media account look like? You show me your last 10 posts, I'll show you your God. See, when I preach this to young people, I show them basically a glimpse of themselves, because what's happening with the millennial and the zillennial generation is a lot of them are making themselves their God. Everything's a selfie. Everything's about them. If the last 10 posts that you have are political, and I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, or something else, politics are your God. What a terrible God that will always let you down. If your last 10 posts are about your kids, you know your kids can become a God. I love my kids. I want them to succeed, but nothing takes over the place that God has in my life. You look at social media of some of the fine people in this church. It's Jesus. It's scripture. It's encouragement. It's witnessing. It's sharing Stephen Furtick's podcast. It's sharing a quote from Bishop Jakes, and we're all making it work. Can I tell you? You say you sound like you're telling me how to run my social media account. That's exactly what I'm telling you to do, because it's the greatest witnessing tool you have. You can sit in your pajamas in your bedroom, and you can change the world with one tweet. Reach the world for Jesus with one post. I love this. It's not a word, but we'll make it a word today. Boldness equals grownness. Everybody wants to be grown. You cannot be grown unless you're bold. We can only be bold through Jesus Christ. That's what it says. It says that we are bold through him, verse 12 says. We are bold through Christ. You can only be bold through Jesus Christ. And I say that to say this, and I love the way that this sounds. Boldness without Christ is reckless. That's what I was meaning when you tell off your boss, it's not boldness, it's reckless. You put somebody in their place, go away thinking, man, I'm feeling so good about myself. Why? That wasn't Christ. That was you. That was emotions. And there's something to be said about people that don't feel bad about being a jerk. I've been known to be a jerk or two or three or four times in my life. I got an amen from the cameraman. I don't even know who that is. Brother Vell, is that you? All right. But I'll tell you this. I've never been a jerk that night, 20 minutes later, whatever, I didn't feel bad about what I said. And I said, God, that's not you and me. That was me and me. And so boldness without Christ is reckless. And we got a lot of people that are bold right now about their personal feelings and philosophies and their personal convictions on this issue and this issue. And do that. Just don't let it become the running and the major factor in your life. Let Jesus temper everything we do and be bold for Jesus in all situations. Amen. Ephesians 3:12 goes on to say this, after we have been bold through him, it says we have free access. Somebody say free access. Free means that you don't have to have something. I don't like the coupon world we live in, because now the coupons say buy one, get one. What happened to the coupons that just said, hey, come get a free burger? You don't have to buy a burger and then get one of equal or lesser value. Don't tell me that my kid eats free with the purchase of an adult entree. No, I just want my kid to eat free. Free means that we don't have something, But free never means, free in Christ never means that we know, that we are not something. Meaning this, free means you do not have to have something, but free in Christ means you have to be something. See, that we have free access is not because of what we've done or what we have. It's because of who we are in Christ. So when I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I need a healthy dose of peace today. I am a believer. I'm a son of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I have nothing to give you, God, but I have accepted you into my life, and it's because I'm a believer. I am something. And so when you become what God has called you to be, he says every access that you need, the availability to God is there, because access equals availability. God is always accessible, church. Don't you love that? How many former Catholics do we have in the building? Just wave at me. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through a priest this morning? Aren't you glad that Mass, and I feel so sorry for our Catholic counterparts, because when they shut the churches down 6 months ago, they literally could not pray. They couldn't make their penance. They couldn't get to their priest. Man, am I glad that any time, any day, Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, but come on, Friday morning at 2:45, Thursday afternoon at 1:15, I am a believer, you are a believer, we are always accessible to God, and God is always accessible to us, that when we need him, he said, you can boldly approach the throne. I need some bold believers to stand on their feet today, pump their fist in the air, and say, thank you, Jesus, for access to excess. Praise God. Praise God. Pastor Becky, if you'll come, stay on your feet if you will. God is always accessible, always available to his creation. Can I back up? God is always available and accessible. Listen to this, to his creation, not just believers. The sinner who cries out, God says, I'm listening. I'm listening. Now, when the sinner says, help me win the lottery, God says, I'm still listening. But when the sinner says, Jesus, I need you, shows up with all of heaven. When they give their life to Jesus, he's always accessible. Can I encourage you, church, don't let any mistake you've ever made keep you from the presence of God. He has given you free access. You boldly come. You know why sometimes it's called boldness when I approach the throne? Because I approach sometimes and I'm dirty and I've made mistakes, but God has never let one mistake I've made keep me out of his presence or keep his presence from invading me. He said, you bring me your mistakes. You come close enough to cast your care. You come close enough. Come on, David. I know what you've been doing with Bathsheba. But I'm still here. I'm still your God. You're still my man. You're still my king. And I want to do something great. Don't let success keep you from God. Highs and lows, I'm in this with Jesus, in his presence. Let me just want one more. Ephesians 3:12 goes on to say, we have free access as kings before the Father. Can I remind you, church, that you're royalty? You're royalty. You say, I don't feel like royalty. You think David felt like royalty after he messed up with Bathsheba? Didn't change his kingship. Didn't change his kingship. You say, I don't feel like a king. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, created by God, who brought you out of darkness, come on, to sing his praises, brought you into the glorious light, to be an ambassador. You are royalty. We always hear with young people, mothers, we say it, act your age. Can I tell you, church, this morning, don't act your age, act your anointing, act your calling, act your purpose, act your authority, act your power. You've got access to excess. You've got access to more than you need spiritually. You've got access to excess more than you need physically. Whatever you need, I'm opening up this altar right now for people all over this room that maybe you've had a shortfall. Maybe you have not had what you thought you should have. Maybe you've been running on empty. Maybe you've been running back and forth from your paycheck to the bank to cover bills. bills. Maybe there's been a depletion, or you're running low on some certain things, spiritually, physically, or in between. I want to invite you to this altar today. But this is what I want you to forget. I want you to forget about the wall. Forget about the person standing on this platform. Forget about what song they're about to sing. And I want you to treat this altar like it's the throne of God. And I want you to boldly approach and say, all right, I'm ready for peace. I'm tired of crying myself to sleep. All right, I'm ready for restoration in my marriage. I'm tired of the bickering and the arguing. I'm ready for my healing. I'm tired of taking those meds, and I'm tired of appointment after appointment after appointment. I'm tired of pornography. I'm tired of lust. I'm tired of relationships that are void of love. I'm ready to have access and to exercise that access to the excess that is of God. You've got about 1 minute, church, to move while you're contemplating.